Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle.
I wanted to take the rules away, you know, like other than the anti-bigotry rules that I have in place, I want people to be vulnerable. I want people who aren't comfortable speaking in public. I want it almost to function more as like a public confessional than a performance.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want another poetry reading. I didn't want, you know, people to come up and read something that they'd spend time writing. I really wanted people to just get up there and just talk about a thing that happened in their life.
Hello, welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast. This is Judy B, and that was Adeline Wright. She is the host of Gag Me With a Spoon. It is a community story share that happens in Duluth, Minnesota at the Teatro Theater here in downtown every second Sunday of each month. And if you happen to be a listener from another part of the country or overseas, never fear, you are able to listen to the podcast. If you Google Gag Me With a Spoon podcast, you will pull up a webpage and poof, there they are. So check them out. Or if you are in Duluth, you can check out some of the old or previous events. The opening quote really speaks well to the inclusiveness in the environment she's trying to create and cultivate for the storyteller as well as for those of us who are part of the audience and the experience. We're going to dive more deeply into that and where this idea came from. And, you know, I encourage you, if you are somebody who is not in Duluth, you know, this might be a really interesting thing to kind of start something like this in your area. As you listen, you'll gain a greater understanding of why Adeline is looking to do this and how it brings us all together as a group, and kind of what the bigger picture is for the community in general. If you haven't been to Gag Me With a Spoon, you should totally come check it out. There are just amazing stories that get told. They're funny, they're happy, they're sad, they're eye-opening. Adeline tells her own as well, and they are usually very, well, you know, what happens at Gag Me stays at Gag Me, unless it's at the podcast. So you'll just have to come down and check it out. We met up at Adeline's salon. She has a salon here in Duluth called Adeline Inc., and it is a fantastic spot. Not only is she an amazing hair artist, but she also has a great coffee and tea, which, you know, I realize it's not the point of the salon, but hey, it just brings this wonderful, delightful peace as you're there and taking part in the beautiful atmosphere that she's created. There's always music going. It's always a great time. And after our conversation, I will share something new that Adeline is doing that will allow you to come down and hang out a little bit. If you like vintage clothing, you're definitely going to want to check this out. At the tail end of our interview, I'm also going to add a snippet of the Gag Me podcast, and in the show notes, we will put the link to the podcast so you can, of course, go and check it out and hear the rest of the story. Before we dive in, however, I want to, first of all, thank you so very much for listening to the podcast. If you enjoy this episode and other episodes, I would ask if you would share this with your friends, family, and relatives. Passing around the podcast just allows more people to be aware of it and have access to the other 85 episodes that are available on various health and wellness topics, things to make our life just a little bit easier, better, happier. And well, I don't know many people that aren't looking for that. Share, comment, review on Facebook. That would be fantastic and wonderful. Please go to wellnessrenpodcast.com and sign up for the email list. We send out an email every time a new episode comes out so you don't miss anything. You can, of course, check out all of the other episodes that we have available. Look for Wellness Renaissance on Facebook, and we do post the podcasts up there as well. If you enjoy the podcast, the work we're doing, and the mission of the podcast, please consider becoming part of the Patreon family, the Wellness Renaissance community, by supporting the podcast even at $1 a month. We really, really do appreciate that. And you can do that on wellnessrenpodcast.com. You click the red button that says become a patron. And this Thursday is Listen Local, the Wellness Renaissance podcast party. So it's your last chance. Get your tickets now. Come on down. Have a great time. Enjoy us. Be part of the live podcast recording and all the other fun stuff that's happening there. So you can buy tickets on the podcast website. You can also find Listen Local information on Facebook as well. Oh, and don't forget, if you're an Amazon shopper, if you go to the website and you click on support the podcast, enter Amazon from any one of those links below, and whatever you purchase on that shopping trip, a portion of that, no cost to you, will go to support the podcast. So thank you so much for those of you who take part in that option. Let's head on into Adeline's Hair Salon. And before we do that, we're going to hear a little snippet of music that was from one of the most recent Gag Me With a Spoon. What's the plural of Gag Me With a Spoon? Here at the Adeline Inc. Hair Studios, which is a delightful and beautiful space if you haven't been here before. Welcome.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. So I want to explore Gag Me With a Spoon, which is a really awesome event you have been heading up for how long now?
Just over 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's a storytelling event, which is very cool. You have featured speakers each month and then
open mic. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So talk about that a little bit more and kind of what the inspiration was.
Well, the very beginning of Gag Me With a Spoon was back in 2009. I had rented a little abandoned storefront in Superior, Wisconsin, and I was hosting events that were part show and part dance party. And ooh. I came up with this concept of, like, you get a ticket to get in the door, you get two beers and some food and some kind of entertainment plus a dance party for $10. And it was a set amount of time, and I wanted people to be able to go out and have fun without it being dangerous, without it being something they couldn't recover from in the morning. And part of that was this event that I named Gag Me With a Spoon, where people would read from their teenage diaries or letters that they've gotten or tell a story from their life, a personal story, and it went really well. Like, people really liked that event. And then when I shut down the little pop-up, the entertainment place, I let that idea go for a long time. And I had a pretty devastating divorce in 2014, and both my ex and I were very public people, and it was very, very painful. And I felt like I needed to move out of the Duluth area for a while to kind of recalibrate and kind of see who I was without the residue and fallout of my ex being around. You know, I don't know. She's a performer. She wrote a whole album about me and our divorce, and it was a very inaccurate, one-sided narrative that I was running away from. So I moved to the cities for about a year with my partner now, and we just really, I missed Duluth. Like, I wanted to be back in Duluth, and in that process, I recognized that I needed to find my own voice again. I'd become really socially awkward and unstable and didn't feel safe going out publicly in the community because I didn't really know, you know, what people knew or what they assumed. You know, I felt the pressure of that one-sided narrative on me. Mm-hmm. And I just decided it was time to, like, come out with all of that. And I started Gag Me With a Spoon again, but with a different twist. And this time it was focused on personal storytelling, because I realized that I'm probably not the only person in Duluth who is up against assumptions about who you are, or people are always judging you before they know you. And then I thought, well, how does community actually grow? It's knowing each other on a little bit deeper level. not just based on assumptions. And so storytelling seemed like a really good vehicle for that. So then I approached Alyssa Hansen, who at the time was, her husband was a partner in Blacklist Brewing. And we decided to start having the event there. So that was 2 years ago. And within a year, we'd outgrown that space and moved to the Teatro Zuccone. And we've been there ever since. And it's been wonderful.
Yeah, it was, Blacklist was spilling out though.
Yeah, they were like, people sitting all the way back to the bathroom so they couldn't hear anything. I was like, Yeah.
In a sense, good problem to have.
Yeah,
right?
And I really, really love Zeitgeist. And by moving it there and charging $5, I'm also supporting that organization. And I think that also feels good to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still an intimate space, an mm-hmm. intimate theater that doesn't feel so intimidating either.
Yeah.
Doing the storytelling or being in the audience, you still feel very connected with the
cool.
person, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I know you've mentioned that it's kind of taking after the moth. I don't know the history of the moth, if that was a thing and then became a podcast is what I assume happened there.
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting about it is that Gag Me With a Spoon was actually inspired by an event, I think, called Mortified.
Oh, really?
Out of Seattle. And that, like, back in 2009, I learned about Mortified, and I thought, you know, the Midwest needs something like that. And that's just the sharing of your personal diaries.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, I like the moth, but I find the stories to be so heavily curated and practiced. And they mm-hmm. almost are starting to sound like they're coming from a singular voice.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I wanted to take the rules away, you know, like other than the anti-bigotry rules that I have in place. I want people to be vulnerable. I want people who aren't comfortable speaking in public. I want it almost to function more as like a public confessional than a performance.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want another poetry reading. I didn't want, you know, people to come up and read something that they'd spend time writing. I really wanted people to just get up there and just talk about a thing that happened in their life. And it's morphed over the 2 years, and sometimes that happens, but I'm kind of really comfortable just winging it
uh-huh.
and letting it kind of evolve organically.
It always has. You are always welcoming to people coming in and everybody having an opportunity to speak up. And which I think is great, because I think we need more venues like that. We need more opportunities for people who aren't practiced, who really, yeah, who, like you say, you're not really comfortable, but maybe you want to be.
Yeah.
But it's a great audience and a great comfortable atmosphere to be able to kind of go, okay, well, I want to share this. Let's see how this goes.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got a good, like, fuck it sort of a thing going on. Like, just give it a try. If it's a total flop, it's okay. It won't get on the podcast. And we'll all love and support you anyhow. You know, like, it's...
Right.
I hope that I continue to create that sort of an atmosphere.
I certainly haven't made all of them, but I'm always impressed and intrigued and touched by the people willing to get up and share in
yeah.
front of strangers and not strangers
mm-hmm.
and be just really open and vulnerable. And we need that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see the place filled with just even more variety of people, because I think it's a
yeah.
great way to hear people's stories. And
yeah. it's been really interesting. I've tried really hard to make sure to get the word out that it's a completely inclusive event, and that I want communities and individuals who haven't had their voices amplified to use it as such. Like, I want people who maybe are living in a situation where their voice isn't getting heard at all to have a much bigger platform. You know, so, you know, I've been reaching out into, especially in Duluth, where it's predominantly white. I've been reaching out to the African heritage community, and I've been reaching out into the Anishinaabe, Ojibwe community, and, you know, just well, also into LGBT community, like trying to say, like, this is for you. This story share is where you can come and let us all know what's in your heart and what we can do to be supportive. And a few people are taking that space and using it. And I hope that we could get more and more of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a nice opportunity to sort of sit there and take it in. Mm-hmm. And I almost like the dark theater for that.
I do too.
You know, yeah. It kind of feels like it's a place where you could sort of process.
Yeah, because you don't want to like get up and leave either, you know, and, right. And the lights aren't on and it feels less exposed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you can just sort of be in your space and not have to worry about what other people around you are.
It gives me an opportunity to learn how to live intersectional feminism out in public, which is also a scary thing because, you know, I open myself up to not doing it right all the time and allowing about 100 other people to witness it and go like, oh, okay, like, yeah, I'm still learning too. And there's room for all of us to learn how to, you know, how to do the big work that we're doing right now in our country to, you know, be in the revolution of cultural identity. Like, you know, everything's changing so fast and it's nice to slow down and just spend time together hearing each other's stories.
Right. And actually hearing each mm-hmm. other's stories.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's, you know, I like imagine that after GAGME, like it would be great if there was like this little discussion group, you know, and I think there is within people because you'd need to process. I mean, it's some of the stories are fun and light and it's just great. And some of, I mean, they're all great, but some of them are intense and they're like,
they're
you know,
heavy.
They're pretty intense with like, oh my gosh, where that takes me back to my mm-hmm. own life.
Yep.
And it's, so it's a little therapeutic.
Yep.
And it's nice to have somebody to process some of that stuff through and to just be able to talk about it and be in a sense in awe sometimes of the people who have gotten up there and really shared their soul.
Well, we've had some weird stuff happen. We had that one guy who was, I haven't really even talked very much about this because I didn't want to give it too much attention, but we had a guy who is an online white nationalist troll who came to GAGME with a spoon, and were you there? He asked to sing like a Scottish song or something like that.
I don't think so.
So I told him, I'm like, you know, this is a storytelling event. He's like, please just let me sing this song. And I could tell.
First to sing the Scottish song.
So this guy came in and he was probably about 25 or 26, good looking, you know, kind of like athletic looking, military looking white guy. But also what I picked up from him was this unhingedness. And he came in during intermission and he sat down and he was insistent that I allow him to sing a song. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to not fight this guy on this because there's something funny. We'll let him sing. The community will, you know, be open with him and loving. And hopefully we can turn this into a positive experience. Well, he gets up on stage, he sings his song. Everybody was, you know, fine and supportive and loving. And he used the last few seconds of being on stage to say something derogatory about how I don't represent conservative voices at GAGME with a Spoon. And I was like, I don't know if this guy's ever, well, he's certainly never been to this event before because I've never seen him. And I don't know where he's getting that information because I don't police the event. You know, like if somebody's coming from a different perspective, if they're not delivering their story in a bigoted way, I'm not going to censor that. But I'm not going to allow for racism and sexism and transphobia and homophobia and ableism and all of the above. But he was really scary. And I went home and I looked him up and he had two different Facebook profiles, one of which made him just look like good old normal Joe with a family. And the other one was very clearly a confused person suffering with trauma and mental health issues. It appeared that he'd only been maybe in the Marines for less than a year and had been kicked out. And yeah, it was kind of scary. So I also recognize that when I do this, I open myself up to criticism. I open myself up to scrutiny. I open myself up to, you know, people kind of ambushing the event. But that's kind of all part of the deal these days, you know, like everybody's kind of raw and untethered. And I still feel really called to create a safe space for storytelling.
Well, and again, in your invitation to for people to tell, you, like you said, you don't police what they're saying, but you also don't ask them, you know, what's your story about?
No.
Like, you're not asking what you... I have seen a brand new person walk in and say, I want to tell a story. And you're like, okay. You know, it was just...
Yeah.
Boom. So it is a space for everyone to have an opportunity.
Yeah, which does leave room for weird shit to happen.
Right, exactly. Which is, it's kind of interesting and cool in its own way,
think,
you know?
I think that, like... The only reason I publicly link this event to the Moth is because people know what the Moth is.
Gotcha. Okay.
They're totally different. It's not a competition. I don't have a clue what the stories are, even from the featured storytellers. Uh-huh. I don't pre-read or check or ask anything. I trust. And I think what I'm realizing is when I move forward with things in my life with a lot of trust, that's where the real beauty happens. I also host on couch surfing people from all over the world that I've never met before. And that has been really restoring my faith in humanity during this time where it feels like everything's crumbling down.
Mm-hmm. It's so brave. Like, I get, like, I both sides of it. It's so brave and what a cool thing to do. Like,
yeah.
I'm a big fan of Amanda Palmer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, that's how she got going. And
yeah.
It's I love that. Yeah, and you're right, that is exactly what you're opening the world up to, not only in your home in that case, but on stage where anything could happen.
Yeah.
But I think it also speaks so well to what we also need right now in a very divided country where people don't feel like they have an opportunity to speak or a forum. And granted, you're Gag Me With a Spoon isn't exactly a question answer conversational.
Mm-mm.
But for somebody to be able to thoughtfully speak their mind, it's a great opportunity to do that. And I think it's a great place for people to listen of mm-hmm. different mindsets and different mm-hmm. political perspectives.
Yeah.
And people are looking for that. We're, you know, I think
yeah.
probably my guess is that most of the people there are from, you know, more one side of the political spectrum. But at the same time, all of us are hungry for good, thoughtful conversation
reality,
on all
yeah.
sides of everything. So,
yeah.
And that's what you're opening the door to.
It is. It's also interesting how many, this doesn't happen as much anymore because I've gotten more comfortable kind of like sniffing this out. But there have been people who have won a proselytize from the stage,
uh-huh.
whether that's for Christian fundamentalism or for New Age beliefs. And I always err on the side of you can tell a story that is about your personal experience as a person of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot tell a story that is an altar call
right.
for your religious beliefs or cultural appropriation of other culture sacred traditions. And that's been really hard because I feel it's important for me as I go to learn, like, okay, what is the edge of what I'm going to allow to happen on the stage? And I'm certainly not going to allow hate speech. But because I have a broad range of people from like 14 to 90 that have shared stories at this event, you know, I would say people in their 50s to 90s that aren't actively learning about gender equity and learning about non-binary gender spectrum and some of these, you know, things that aren't new, but the language around them is new,
mm-hmm.
they're the most offensive. You know, they'll say things that they think is, you know, funny, and it's like, what, did we take a DeLorean back to the late 80s? Like, where have you been? That's not a term we use anymore. You know, some of those things are really frustrating, you know, like where you're like, well, and I think that would be a good time to have a community discussion or like a debrief afterwards. But I also don't want people to feel too policed in how they're saying things. And I think it's okay that the crowd gets uncomfortable and that maybe somebody gets up and leaves, because then that's direct feedback to that storyteller of like, oh, I said something that maybe is no longer correct, is no longer how I should be viewing this or thinking about this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's another scary element. I mean, when I talk about it out loud, I think, why am I doing this?
I always think you're very brave. Every time I go there, I'm like, you're very brave. Because I know that you don't know everybody that's walking up
there. Oh, no way.
And
no.
I think it's great. I mean, I think what you're creating is just so... It's so trusting and it's so beautiful, because I think we, you know, we have the Facebook world that we sound bites, and we yeah. all live in those spaces. And I mean, even long Facebook posts, and I'm guilty of this too. Nobody wants to read that, you know, even if it's really well thought out.
Yeah.
And I think we do. We need to get away from screen time, yep. which I know is part of your purpose too, yep. and have us with each other. And it's an experience. Yep. I mean, the going to Gagne with a Spoon is an experience.
Thanks.
And it's a lovely thing to do. I have been in so many spaces lately where conversation, I think, is so important, right? Like, we need more spaces where conversations of all different types with people, where they can be comfortable to say the words they know how to say, but maybe it's not the right words, but mm-hmm. you can conversate about those words and why are we saying it differently, or what is this? Why is this word okay to you and not okay to you? I mean, I think those are amazing conversations that we all need to have.
Well, and how to not be defensive. Like, how to just roll with it and say, like, oh, I didn't know that.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know? But everything feels a little precarious and like we're walking on eggshells and landmines. But, you know, you have the camp of people that are like, everything's too PC and we should say whatever the hell we want. And it doesn't matter who is offended by it, you know. I'm on the other side of like, no, this is a time of the Great Awakening. This is when we need to be learning new language and paying attention. And that these words that we're saying publicly and privately are laying the, you know, laying the foundation for the future of the world. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I try to hold myself accountable and still allow myself to be imperfect and a learner. Yeah, we do need more of that in the community, but it is really difficult. I think my hair salon actually is a place where that happens more frequently. Those conversations in depth and like bringing people into a greater understanding of why language is important.
Mm-hmm.
I had a cute story about a client who she no longer is coming here, but she was kind of just this effervescent, beautiful blonde woman who was not necessarily my typical client. You know, she very, very beautiful, very wealthy, probably a lot more conservative viewpoint than I have. Her husband worked for the pipeline, and, you know, my salon, for those listening that aren't, you know, here in the room with us, is, you know, it's my heart on my sleeve. Like, every element of it, it's full of plants, it's full of light, and it's full of inclusive and feminist artwork and magazines and conversation. So she had been coming here for about a year, and she had grown comfortable here, and I, you know, she walked in and she goes, Adeline, you will never believe it. She's like, somebody called me a feminist on Facebook. She's like, I am not a feminist. Why would they call me that? And I was just like, I was looking at her, I'm like, you are a feminist. She's like, no, I am not. She's like, I love men. You know, she goes into that whole like 1960s propaganda as to what a feminist is thing. Right. And I just like paused and I was like, okay. What do you think a feminist is? And she's like, bra burning, man hating, you know, lesbian, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, so here's what I think a feminist is. And I started telling her what I think a feminist is. And I said, and here's where you're a feminist. You run your own business. You, you know, you are advocating for the rights of people with mental health issues. You have two children that you treat fairly and equally, and you know, you have a daughter who is strong and in sports, and you're raising to be like this strong woman. You are a feminist in these areas. So feminism just, you know, is equality. And she's like, oh, I'm a feminist? And I'm like, yeah, you are. And so I gave her this little book, Feminism is for Everybody, and she took it home and read it, and she brought back, she's like, you know what? I think I am a feminist. You know, so like these little gentle things, like it was moving to me that she was open to have that conversation mm-hmm. in the salon with other people here and be vulnerable enough to say out loud, like, this is what I think feminism is. And for me to be able to, with love, say that that is a version of feminism that a lot of people assume is accurate. And that's not true. And here's this other opportunity, you know, to look at it differently. I think Gag Me With a Spoon gives me a little bit of that. I can sort of do that publicly, but I think the salon is where the majority of the really like in-depth, important conversations happen, where people can ask dumb questions, and I will give them maybe a dumb answer back, but we'll meet each other on the road somewhere. You know, but worst case scenario, we can Google it, look it up,
right?
Yeah.
That's what I think is interesting about you starting Gag Me With a Spoon. It's kind of this interesting, like, little extension from the salon in a little different way, because it is very open and comfortable in your salon.
Yeah.
And if anybody's listening to check out the podcast of some of the past stories, I mean, it's intense. You know, when somebody gets up there and they haven't even started their story yet and they're already crying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a clear message, and then goes on to tell this amazingly beautiful story that is horrible at the same time, but so deep, and to share that in front of the world.
It's a very brave thing just to step up on that stage, and you know, I try not to be afraid of those tears or to caretake for people when they're in that position, but just to hold space and to be there with them. And it's an intense thing for me to sit on the stage and do it, because I'm listening to their stories, but I'm also paying attention to every person in the audience. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to make sure that they feel loved and cared for and safe. And also I'm trying to be funny. You know, like, I'm trying to keep it light. And, right. You know, I get done after that 2 hours of that show and I am wiped out. Like, it is like I just ran a marathon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can understand that, because mm-hmm. you're sitting on the stage.
Yeah.
So you're still, like, in view of the world.
Yeah, right, I'm just, like, trying to pull it together. And because I'm not a very planful person and I'm just winging it, like, there's a lot that's happening in real time, you know, like I don't prepare.
Which I think also adds to the comfort of it from an audience perspective and from a storyteller's perspective, because it's not so rigid.
That lets me off the hook.
Totally. I think it's true though, because I think so. If you were so like calculated, you would feel as a storyteller that you had to be so calculated.
Yeah, I don't want to be a talk show host.
Right.
You know, like I want everybody to come up and tell a story. I want more people to tell stories. I really am interested in, if I can't find people in our community that are willing at this point to tell stories, I want immigrant voices. I want youth immigrant voices. Like, there's a lot of storytelling happening in the Twin Cities around experiences with coming to the United States and as especially as a refugee, that I think would be really important to amplify right now. Some of the most powerful stories I've heard are from, you know, some of my Black friends in Duluth who have experienced intense racial profiling. And I think until you hear that from a person that you know and love and recognize, it's so abstract if you haven't experienced it. Like, these are the kinds of stories that I want on a regular basis to be, you know, shared. Stories about what it's like to be a young woman and Indigenous when women are being murdered and are going missing at an alarming rate. Like, how does that feel just to be part of that demographic?
Right.
And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I keep reaching out to people in those communities that I know, but it has to start to kind of ripple out, and the word has to get out there that that's what this is for.
Right.
And that's a basis for them.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're listening, pass this on to people.
Yeah.
Invite them in.
Invite people to tell stories.
And you always have a musical guest.
Yeah, we have a musical guest.
So talk about that, because you a good, you know, you have people from here, you have people from the Twin Cities.
Yeah. I'm always prone to a variety show. You know, I think any part of my life at any time could descend into some kind of variety show. And I think that songwriting and music is just another form of storytelling. It's the form of storytelling that we become most comfortable with because music is everywhere and it's these short form stories. But we're disconnected from, like, who's the story about? And maybe you know, my ex writing all those stories in her songs about me made me realize the power of the narrative voice. And, you know, I'm a part of a very small community of people who have been the subject of a very sad songwriters outpouring. I don't know how to say it. Like, I'm like, you don't know about the people behind sad love songs or breakup songs.
Mm-hmm.
And my phone's ringing, so I'm next. Anyhow, what I was trying to say is that there's only a handful of people out there in the world who have ever experienced having somebody who is, you know, pretty famous or like has a pretty big platform telling their personal story or skewing their personal story. You know, I think probably a lot of like famous people and politicians get to experience that through paparazzi or through journalism. But having that life experience helped me to understand that storytelling is empowering, and it is for musicians as well. And you know, I wish my situation would have gone differently, but I think some of the beauty that came out of it is that, like, I have a voice too, and I'm going to go out in public and tell my side of the story. to thousands and thousands of people. Yeah, everybody, all stories are complicated and have multiple sides, but yeah, it's fun to hear. It's been really fun just seeing how many people come to the event regularly and share stories and watch them developing their storytelling skills. Mm-hmm. So Jonah, who is a regular storyteller, he's been practicing at Gave Me With a Spoon, and then he went down to Art of World and did a full half an hour public storytelling event.
Wow.
So I think that's
very cool.
Gave Me With a Spoon's been an incubator for him, and he's really developed his voice. And
he has great stories.
And then little, like, Bailey
oh,
who tells
yes.
the stories. Like, she's this beautiful, tiny woman in her, you know, early 20s who is, like, a Dungeons & Dragons girl and loves manga and always tells these really innocent and darling stories about cats and manga, and she has a very unique voice, and she's been practicing storytelling publicly, and I appreciate that so much. And then there'll be these folks who I, you know, I'm just like, hey, you want to jump up and tell a story? And they just knock your socks off too, you know, like, were you there for Claire Kirk's story about stealing books from the library?
No.
Oh my gosh. That one's on the podcast.
That's
so
awesome.
Good. Yeah. And because I'm like so present with the people on stage, I often don't completely compute their stories. And I always go back and listen to the podcast to catch some of what I missed.
Right.
Because I'm like kind of almost having an adrenaline rush while it's happening. Mm-hmm. Like the whole time I'm up there and like tightly wound.
Yeah. We have musical guests.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a musician, and I have friends that are musicians, and I just kind of follow that path to find new people and June 9th is the next one, so that's next Sunday. And Brandon Gordon is going to be our musical performer. And he's a local hip-hop artist, and I saw him perform at a Goody Night. And I was like, hey, you want to do this? And he said, yes. And so, you know, we're having our first hip-hop performer. And I think hip-hop is a really good example of storytelling. Mm-hmm. You know, storytelling of how you want things to be, storytelling of how things are. You know, just, I've been very moved by hip-hop since I was in seventh grade. Maybe even actually earlier than that. But for sure, when, like, Dr. Dre's The Chronic came out, and the first time I heard Snoop Dogg, and the first time I started, like, really connecting with this this perspective that it was nothing like my own life at all, but what I felt when I listened to that music was that this was a pure expression, even if I couldn't be agreeable to the misogyny or agreeable to or like even understand the experience, I knew that there was something really powerful going on for the people who were performing that music and who were hearing that music, who were living that common experience. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. No, well, I think that it's true. It's interesting to be able to listen to other people with very different or maybe harsh perspectives, or like you said, the misogyny, and to understand that that is their reality, and to be able to listen and try to understand with ears and mind of what does that look like.
Or maybe it's their fantasy. I mean, like, I also like to think, like, you know, actually Snoop Dogg had a partner and they lived in a house, and there was probably a lot more like normcore stuff going on than all of this like grandiosity that was coming out. But I think when, you know, when you grow up in a situation where you're experiencing trauma and poverty and hardship, you fantasize a lot about what it would be like for it to not be like that, and to follow the thread of those fantasies, I think, is interesting to see how far it gets from reality. And you can't know unless you're in that situation.
How far has the farthest musician come?
Well, we've had some from Bayfield, Wisconsin, from Minneapolis. Some of the musicians that have come through have been touring musicians, so they've been kind of from all over the place.
Cool.
I don't know, because I'd have to sit down and look at my my spreadsheet to know who's even been there. I don't hold on to... I guess I'm kind of like a one foot in front of the other, live for every single day kind of a person. And so it is a little bit more mental energy for me to go back in time and think, like, who was there?
Right.
What musicians have been? Yeah. You know, and I try to make sure that it's people, local people from the area, but also bring, it's fun to hear new things. And I always want the musical guest to be of a certain quality. There are some local people I'm really excited to, you know, have, like Tim Kaiser. I don't know if you're familiar with Tim Kaiser at all, but he's a musician, kind of an avant-garde musician who makes his music with instruments of his own creation that are technological but not necessarily computerized. It's hard
interesting.
So I'm excited for him. Also, Sam Miltich. I don't know if you know Sam Miltich.
The name is very familiar.
So he is a gypsy jazz musician and quite famous. And he's been touring and talking about his experience with mental illness.
Okay.
And but he's one of my favorite players. And I met him years ago at the Brew House. The Clearwater Hot Club would play there every week, and, you know, or at least once a month. It felt like every week to me. I have no idea how frequently it was, but I was always there, and I was always there to hear and see Sam, because he is such a gentle, tender, wonderful person who was just blowing my mind with his ability to play, and such a young person as well. So he's going to be our musical guest in, I believe, August.
Okay.
And July, it's Superior Siren. So I think it's good because it also is kind of like a draw. Like, people are like, oh, and I also get to hear this musician.
Yeah.
but you
and
know,
get to be introduced to new musicians.
Yeah, and I like to poke the musicians for a story too.
And you tell your own stories too sometimes, which is delightful. And very fun. So Gag Me with the Spoon happens the second Sunday of each month.
Second Sunday of each month from 7 to 9 at the Teatro Zuccone in the Zeitgeist Arts Building in Duluth, Minnesota.
And there's a Facebook page to keep up on events, just in case something weird shifts the date for some reason. Throws us all off.
Oh, that was weird. Yeah. I think we're, you know, we have to make sure that we're not always running into the smelt parade. I think that's going to be our one conflict. I'd like to make Gag Me with a Spoon part of the smelt parade. Maybe we can make that.
That would be very interesting. For those of us who don't know a lot about smelting, we'd like to hear some stories.
Some smelting stories.
So yes.
Oh.
Yes. I think that would be a great theme next year.
Yeah.
I'm there.
Well, and also we should state that none of the Gag Me with a Spoons are themed.
True.
Because that's another thing. I think people want there to be a theme so that they can work from that framework. But I find that it's too limiting. And I want these things to be all over the map. I want your heart to be pulled in every direction when you come to this event.
And it usually is.
And it usually is. Yeah, it's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the nights, I remember one night I was there. And I just, the stories were like, they were so good, but they were so intense. I mean, one person had talked about having her house broken into and being held up at gunpoint. And there was just like, everybody was like riveting. Mm-hmm. But it was like, you walk away, you're like, whew, that was some stuff I just walked through.
Yeah.
You
know?
But
yeah.
In a great way. I love it.
Totally.
And the podcast is alive and well. So people can check that out on iTunes if they miss or if they're not from Duluth.
Yep, Gag Me with a Spoon Community Story Share on iTunes. Look for the pink logo with a old school microphone.
Fifties, kind of fifties music microphone.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything else that we should know about when it comes to Gag Me?
I don't think so. I think that's good.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you.
Thank you,
Judy. It's fun to hear the inspiration and your intention and invite people into that space.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing this every month. It's wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for being a steady Eddie out there in the audience and occasionally storytelling.
Yes.
You've done, what, three times?
I think so.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I love it.
Braver, so.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
I'm so completely sad I missed the dance parties. We need to reinstitute those again. I totally missed out. And again, we will put the podcast website link in the show notes. You can also look it up on iTunes under Gag Me with a Spoon, as Adeline suggested. And as I mentioned in the beginning, Adeline is doing a remodeling in her salon. And part of that remodeling is opening up Duluth's first gender-neutral micro thrift store called Vula Vintage. The thrift shop is the brainchild of and being opened by Christina Livaderos. She will be opening it up inside Adeline's salon. So keep an eye out for the progression of that and go check it out. And then you can get yourself some bitchin' clothes, to steal a line from Moon Zappa. I'll also put Adeline's Facebook contact information as well, so you can keep an eye on that if you are around here or traveling to Duluth. So I hope to see you at Gag Me with a Spoon if you're in Duluth, or again, traveling here on a second Sunday of the month. Otherwise, of course, check out the podcast. I am going to leave you with an excerpt of one of the stories from one of the most recent Gag Me with the Spoons, whatever the proper plural of that is. As you will hear, this person is a comedian, so she is somebody who is comfortable in front of audiences, but I thought it was a fun representation of something you might hear at Gag Me with the Spoon. It was hard to choose the story and which one to share with you, but this one starts with a little bit of laughter, and who couldn't use a little bit of laughter? Enjoy!
Yes, I usually perform stand-up comedy because there's only two ways to open people up to new ways of thinking. You can either be a trusted advisor or you can make people laugh. Laughing releases chemicals in the brain, and it makes embracing novel situations less threatening. And when I perform, one of the things I first tell people is, what I tell the audience is that I'm transgender, and I'm 55 years old. I always quickly get that out into the open because I know some people are uncomfortable sharing a restroom with someone as old as I am. But when Adeline invited me tonight, she made it clear in her gentle but uniquely firm way not to do stand-up. She wanted me to talk about some of my experiences, and oh yeah, you have 7 minutes. So in 1964, a doctor did a 5-second visual inspection and declared, "It's a boy." That classification threw me into a valley from which it's taken me literally a lifetime to climb free. 10 years after I was born, I'm confident there were more humans alive on this planet that had walked on the moon than who had successfully overcome extreme gravitational pressure of their assigned gender role. So I consider many transgender people to be like space explorers, sort of like gender knots. People ask me, when did I transition? My physical transition, the part that everybody sees, happened in 2013, but I think my transition really started the day I was born. It's one of my earliest memories. It's affected every part of my life. And I would like to be able to talk about my earliest years and how I was socialized as male, but I only have 7 minutes, so I'm going to skip that part. I would also like to talk about the recommended course of treatment for transgender people in the 1960s and the 1970s, with electroshock therapy and antipsychotic drugs or just killing us. But due to time, I'm going to skip that too. I would also like the opportunity to talk about the importance of genitalia in our society. I mean, we humans are fixated on genitalia so much that we have parties called gender reveals, or as I call them, genitalia reveals. I mean, because that's what they really are, right? We set off fireworks, and if the fireworks are blue, then the baby has a penis. It's a party for a penis. I mean, how much do we care about genitalia? I mean, everyone in this room is required by law to carry around a little card so that a bank officer or a police officer can say, well, judging by your appearance and the way you're dressed, I think you might have a vagina, but I want to be sure, so could I please see your card? And sure enough, there on the driver's license or the passport or the birth certificate is that M or that F, which is really just telling us your genitalia, right? So like all humans, I'd love to talk about genitalia, but I'm going to skip that too. What seems like the same topic, but's not the same, is the concept of what makes a man a man and a woman a woman. You know, what is that line of demarcation? A court in Sweden recently decided that it's not genitalia, it's not genetics, it's not menstruation, or the ability to set up whole house Wi-Fi. The court decided what puts women in a unique group is levels of testosterone. Specifically 5 nanomoles per liter of blood. If you have more than that, they're not sure what you are, but you're not a woman. It's what the court concluded, and I think it's an interesting commentary on our society, but I'm going to skip that too. One topic I'd love to talk about, having seen both sides, is what I've seen as the differences between men and women. I mean, we all know that women face discrimination. All women know that we face discrimination, but how strong is it? I think that generally speaking, it's about 10 to 15 times more extreme than most women realize. And I'm not convinced most men accept the fact that women face discrimination at all, or if they do, it's very little. But I'm not going to talk about those experiences either. What I am going to talk to you about for the remaining 4 minutes is a moment that happened to me this month. It lasted about 3 minutes, and then I'm going to finish up with a short poem that it inspired. After I've described the experience to some of my other friends, they've asked me if the man in the story was mentally ill. No, I learned from the restaurant staff afterwards that he was part of a larger group of men out partying for the evening. The group included a commercial real estate broker, a pediatrician, and other professionals in the area. And it's my impression the only influencing effects on the gentleman's brain at that time were just alcohol and testosterone.
For the rest of her story, check out the podcast. Find the link in the show notes or Google Gag Me With a Spoon podcast. You can find additional episodes to the Wellness Renaissance podcast at wellnessrenpodcast.com. Thank you so very much for listening. Have a wonderful week, and may you continue to find pieces that fit beautifully and functionally into your health and wellness puzzle. Until next week, take care.